You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. And today I have a guest, Dan Miller, who has been on the show before, but he was so interesting I had to have him on again. So today we're going to talk about, well, I learned last time that Dan is from Saskatchewan. From the town Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon.
Okay. I knew I was going to mispronounce at least one of them. So, Dan, could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, my name's Dan, as you've heard. I am also from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I kind of took your intro from you.
Yeah, no worries. No. I'm a student here at UBC, trying to get into the radio, and so it's really awesome that Neetu's kind of showing me the ropes a little bit, letting me get some experience, so...
Yeah. I might not be the best person to get the ropes from. It might be Nardwars, but I'd be the best one to go to. But I'm glad that you feel that way. And so today I'm just going to ask Dan all about Saskatchewan and Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon.
Damn it.
Don't worry about it. It's tough.
Eventually I'll get it during this interview. Eventually I'll get it. So today we're going to learn all about it. So first of all, I want to ask, do you feel that other provinces, such as BC, don't know much about Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I think Saskatchewan is big in terms of size, but not so much in terms of population. We only have like 1 million people or so in the entire province, and the province is huge. So I don't know. I don't blame people for not knowing much about Saskatchewan. I think people just kind of think, oh, that's like farmland, like there's not much going on there, and that is true, but I don't know, there's a lot of interesting things that I'll tell people about Saskatchewan that they won't know. Like, for example, we're the number one uranium producer in the entire world, and people don't know that, which tends to make people go, huh, you have uranium, where is it, under all that wheat? But
Is it, like, in the northern part of Saskatchewan? I almost said Alberta.
It is, yeah. So we have a city in northern Saskatchewan called Uranium City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just named after
it. Yeah. So a lot of mining gets done up there. Although, recently, as I've heard, the industry's not doing too well, unfortunately, for Saskatchewan. Nuclear power is, like, the main driver of that industry. And so I guess it's not so much in vogue right now, so it is taking a bit of a hit, but that's okay.
What about Saskatchewan?
Saskatoon.
Damn it.
Saskatoon, if a lot of people haven't been there, and I don't blame them, but I think Saskatoon's one of those cities that you'll be surprised by. If you go, I would recommend going in the summer, probably because it's really cold in the winter. Gets down to like minus 30. Which is like growing up in that, like, oh, I hated it. So that's why I like Vancouver, although the rain all the time is...
I think I would like it better there. I'd rather be cold than warm or hot.
Oh, I agree.
It's my preference.
Yeah, like being hot to me is unbearable. Because cold, you can just put on more layers.
I know,
right?
Just put on more.
Yeah.
With heat, you can't.
No.
You have to have thin layers so you don't get burned, but then you can't really do much about the heat.
No. But yeah, Saskatoon's, it's a beautiful city. Everyone that I've talked to that has visited always has positive things to say about it. And, you know, they always say we're really nice people. And I think that just comes from being, you know, growing up somewhere where it's pretty tight-knit. There's only 250,000 people that live there or so. So you get to kind of know, and I played hockey and went to high school and all that stuff. So, like, you kind of get to know a lot of people from all over the city and... yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty tight-knit, I'd say.
How is the city different from, say, Vancouver or, like, a smaller city here in BC? Like, is the structure of the city similar or is it, like, completely different?
Well, we have the... Oh, I don't want to screw this up. South Saskatchewan River? Yeah, South Saskatchewan River runs right through Saskatoon, so we have all these bridges. I think we have 7, and we're building an 8th one. Which seems like an absurd... Oh, no, we blew one up, though. So I don't know. I'm not totally sure.
I liked how you said that. You blew what up.
Well, yeah, they literally like.
They literally like put in the dynamite. You can't see, but we're doing the actions for the dynamite.
Yeah.
They actually blew it up.
Yeah.
Was it like a big thing in the city where you had to go see it be blown up?
It was. Like
were you
people
there?
Gathered. I wasn't there.
Oh damn.
But yeah, I missed out. I know there was three. They did it three times because they blew up the two ends and then they blew up the middle part.
Okay.
The big problem was they didn't want debris to fall in the river and wash down, so they had to figure that. I'm not sure how they figured that out, but
I don't think they could. Well, maybe a big tarp, but that would be too big.
Yeah, I think it was something like that, or like a huge net in the water that caught everything. But yeah, apparently you could hear the blasts from all over the city. I mean, I think it was at like 7 a.m. They did it in the morning, so it wouldn't disrupt the city, I guess.
But
I don't know.
It would wake everybody up.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't wake me up, but apparently you could hear it.
I can't imagine that happening here in Vancouver. Too many people would. There'll be too much criticism over it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there was actually some controversy because a lot of people wanted that bridge just to be used as a footbridge.
Walk over?
Yeah. But I guess the maintenance is a really old bridge. It was kind of falling apart anyway. So I guess the maintenance of it wasn't worth it, the cost and everything. Mm. But yeah, it was sad to see that bridge go because I actually did kind of like that bridge.
What about the streets? Are they, like, in Vancouver, they're pretty, like, there's avenues and there's streets and they intersect and it's all kind of, it's kind of like a grid formation. What's it like in, oh my gosh, I'm going to stop saying yes.
No, no worries, no worries. I think it's like most cities. We have the worst ring road in the world. So ring road, like a road that goes around the city. We have a ring road that goes right through the middle of the city and it's totally commercialized, so there's lights everywhere. It's so awful trying to get to the other side of the city. Just it takes so long. It shouldn't take half an hour in a city that only has 250,000 people. Like, they really blew it on that one.
Is there a lot of lanes in it, or is it just like two lanes on both sides?
I think it's three lanes.
Okay, that's still not enough.
No, because the semis go through there as well. And
what
so
is the semi?
Like a big truck.
Oh, okay.
18-wheeler, like with the, you've seen them before. Like
yeah.
They got the cab and then they got the big trailer on the back. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a lot of those going through because we're kind of, yeah, in the middle of the country. So they're going to Alberta, BC or coming from Alberta, BC. And so, yeah, it's pretty brutal to drive there. And like rush hour is, I would say it's as bad as Vancouver. It shouldn't be, but it is.
What about the street names? Like, I went on a road trip during my summer vacation, and I saw, like, a lot of the street names in other parts of BC are named after, like, provinces or other cities in BC. What about, oh my gosh, no, that's not how you start it.
Saskatoon.
Thank you. Is it numbered streets, or are there names to it?
They're mostly, actually, the streets in my neighborhood are all named after artists, like Canadian artists, although I've never heard
so
of
like
any of them.
The Group of Seven, maybe.
I
think they were in BC, so that might not be it.
I'm not sure. Like I honestly haven't heard of any of them, unfortunately. But
you don't learn about artists in school.
Well, not obscure Canadian artists, no. What else? Well, I mean, we got pretty uncreative names. Like that ring road's called Circle Drive.
That's a great name for it.
We have one that goes past the high or the university. It's called College Drive. Yeah, there's like they're pretty basic names. And we have Ontario Street and Manitoba Street.
Okay,
and like all that
so
stuff
there
as
are
well.
After provinces also.
Yeah.
What color are the street signs?
They're green and white. Yeah, I think they're like most street signs. I mean, we occasionally have those big square ones, I guess, because the small ones are too small, but we have these big, like on my street, we have this big square one that says the street name on it.
And are the letters in white or is it a different color?
They're in white, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to ask this about everybody from different provinces because I'm curious if it's all the same color, if it's all the same, like the same color, the same letter color, and if it's the same font. Is it the same? Do you think it's the same font? That might be too detailed of a question.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I think they're the same font, yeah.
I wonder what the font is. I don't think it's like Times Roman or anything like that. Maybe it's a unique font to Canada.
Street sign font.
I would like to know that. Maybe it's in like an archive or something here. Or maybe you call and you ask and they'll tell you.
I wonder how they choose that font.
I know. I wonder how they would choose it.
Is there a committee that's like, all right, guys, we got to come up with a font for these signs. And then like...
There must be. They must have chose a font at some point. Because, I don't know, I guess it's a big decision what font you use, and you have to make all of them linear to that font.
I'd like to imagine that Comic Sans was in the running.
I know, that would be awesome. A Comic Sans. Instead of making them all linear, maybe they should try like different fonts for everything. But that might be a little confusing. Or you could do like avenues are one font, and then streets are another font.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be a little variety, I think.
That would be nice. But that might be, it might take a little more manpower to do, like to differentiate it. Maybe there'll be some mistakes and you never know.
Yeah.
So do you feel that Saskatchewan and Saskatoon, underrepresented in other provinces?
Underrepresented? I don't think so. I mean, like I was saying earlier, like we don't have a huge population. So like, I'm happy with any representation in other provinces, but underrepresented, I just think people have a misconception of what people from Saskatchewan are like, or what the province is like itself.
Yeah. Are there any stereotypes?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's the hick stereotype, like, oh, a small town, like, grew up on a farm, like, doesn't know much about the world. And, like, I do kind of, like, coming to Vancouver, I definitely felt a little bit like a fish out of water kind of thing. Because Vancouver's, like, pretty, I don't know, it's such a big, beautiful city, so lush. Like, where I'm from, it's, like, for 9 months a year, it's dead. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we get, how many months is that? Like, 3 months where it's, like, oh, it's so beautiful here, and then everything's dead. But it was a little weird. Yeah, coming here, did kind of feel like that stereotype was somewhat true. But at the same time, it's like, oh, we're not all chewing on wheat and spitting tobacco and all that stuff.
When like in your classes here at UBC, do you ever hear about like, this writer is actually from Saskatchewan? Or just kind of like, does it ever kind of fit into like the lecture or the conversation in the class?
Well, last year, I was in the Arts 1 program, and we read a book by Thomas King called The Inconvenient Indian. And, there was some mentions of things that happen in Saskatchewan and around Saskatoon. And so it was cool to kind of talk. We talked a lot about, First Nations and whatnot. And it was cool because, I had that firsthand experience of, like, living around a lot of First Nations people and getting to know them and becoming friends with a lot of them.
Right, you told me about that. You were on a hockey team with Indigenous people.
Yeah,
what was the team called?
It was the Beardies Blackhawks. I was almost sort of on the team. I was on exhibition games. Like, I was to be on the team. I got hurt, unfortunately, and they cut me.
That's too bad.
But, I got to know a lot of, First Nations guys that were playing on the team that were living on the reserve out there, and it was pretty cool. It was very, I wouldn't say culture shock, but it was eye-opening for sure.
Are you still in contact with them? Do you still, like...
Yeah, I got a few buddies back home. One of them lives in Meadow Lake now, which is another, I think it's an Indigenous reserve. I still keep in touch with him.
So are Indigenous reserves really close to Saskatoon?
Beardies was about an hour and a half north, I think. North. I won't say it because I don't want to screw it up. But, Beardies was pretty close. And I'm sure there were other reserves that were pretty close as well. Wanuskewin was a heritage site. It wasn't a reserve, but it was a First Nations heritage site.
Then did you feel like because the reserve lines were so close that in, like, Indigenous community or... let's say society or culture was really part of Saskatchewan or just Saskatoon?
Yeah, well, I mean, the unfortunate thing right now is recently this guy, Colin Bushy, him and his friends were driving up and they got a flat tire and they drove up on a farm. And this farmer, I don't remember his name. I don't really want to say his name, but he ended up like shooting this kid. Oh. And there was this big court case about, you know, whether it was murder or self-defense. Yeah. And it was kind of inconclusive. And so unfortunately in Saskatchewan right now, there is quite a bit of tension between...
Were the kids Indigenous? Or?
Yes, they were. Okay. The kids were Indigenous. Yeah. So there was a lot of families outraged that I think he got acquitted on murder, but he might have been charged with manslaughter. I can't remember. But there was, unfortunately, there is quite a bit of tension. Mm-hmm. Although you don't really feel it within the youth, but I feel like between adults, like older people.
The older generation.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of, like, tension, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate, yeah. And what's the school system like in Saskatchewan? Because every province has, like, a different school system. Like, the school system that I grew up with here in Surrey, BC, was that you would go from kindergarten to grade 7, and that's elementary school. And then you would go from grade 8 to grade 12 in high school, and then post-secondary school if you decide to.
Yeah, we did... We have preschool. You guys have preschool, right?
I think, well, preschool isn't mandatory.
No, it's not. It's
but
not.
There are, like, preschools. Yeah. But I don't think most people go to preschool.
Oh, really?
It's just, okay. Just go to, because you have to pay for preschool, I think.
Yeah.
It's not part of the, excuse me, if you're public education. So usually, I think parents would just do it if they needed, like, babysitting. I think my brother Nav was in preschool, and... I don't think me and my brother Tony got preschool. We were singled out.
Yeah, well, we went kindergarten to grade 8 in elementary school. And then, 9 to 12 was our high school.
So there was no middle school?
No. Yeah, it was weird. Like, I didn't really know what middle school was till like, grade 11 or so. Like,
I didn't know either because I never heard of middle school before. No middle. You go elementary to high school. There is no, like, middle lane that you go into.
The concept of middle school is really weird to me, too.
I know.
It's like, it seems so unnecessary. It's like...
It does.
Why have 3 schools?
You don't need that many. Just go from 1 to 2. You don't need... Like, maybe it's good for kids to have transitions, but that might be too much. Like, you could do that through, like, extracurricular kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And what's the... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to ask you another question, but if you have another note on this, those related.
Oh, what was I going
to... You can do it.
I don't really...
Retrieve.
Well, actually, I was going to say we have... Yeah, secondary as well, University of Saskatchewan. Shout out Huskies, my boys. Got to shout them out. I got a few buddies that are... Actually, I know a lot of people that are going there. It was kind of interesting. I wonder in BC if it's like this, at least for you at your high school. But most people, like the majority of people, stayed in Saskatoon. I think, for financial reasons, likely, which is totally fair. But for me, I know I was like, oh, I got to get out of here.
I had the same kind of feeling. I first was going to go to UNBC, which is up in Prince George, because I really just wanted to get away from Surrey. Because I'd grown up there. I lived there my whole life. I thought I would like to see something different for once. And now I have the opportunity, and I wasn't really too much. I'm not very restricted by financial situation. So I'm lucky and I'm privileged in that way. But then I got into UBC, and my parents didn't know about UNBC. They knew UBC because UBC is a big thing around here. Even the buses have UBC on them all the time. So when I got in and I told them, they just, like, changed the whole plan. Like, okay, you're going to UBC now. Forget UNBC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think, I'm not really sure. I feel like... Yeah, in Surrey, I feel like a lot of the kids do kind of stay there. They end up going to universities or colleges there. Like, there's Kwantlen Polytechnic University there, and I don't know, there might be a community college. Though I don't think there is. I think it's mostly Kwantlen Polytechnic University that's over there. But besides that, I think that's kind of like the lowest choice. I think most students want to go to SFU, which is also, there's also a location in Surrey, or UBC, something... close. They don't usually go too far out. Like, they don't go to, like, the United States, per se, for schooling. So that's my experience with it. With my colleagues and my friends from my school, that's what I found.
Okay, yeah, similar to what I got. I mean, I knew a couple people that ended up with scholarships in the States, but tuition down there is absurdly expensive. So I think most people eat, like, I know a lot of Americans that come here.
Yeah, because it's cheaper.
Even though they're international, it's still cheaper to come here. Yeah.
And international fees are so much higher than regular fees if you're a citizen of Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
So why did you decide to come to BC? Just because you wanted to get away from, oh my gosh, Saskatoon?
Got it. There was a few reasons. I mean, I think the idea of, like, being on my own, being an individual, away from the family, like, I love Mom and Dad. I don't know if they're listening, but Mom and Dad,
I have the same feeling.
But, yeah, like, just the idea for me of, like, trying out, just being on your own and seeing what that's like, was really attractive to me. And then also, I'm a big skier. I love skiing. And there's not a lot of skiing in Saskatchewan. It's very flat. Like, flat, like the moon, man. It's, well, even the moon's less flat than Saskatchewan, probably, with all those craters in it. But we have a couple ski hills, and I use the word hill pretty generously.
It's not
like,
really.
It's more like a ski bump, and you can see it because it's so flat. You can see it from
kind of like a ramp, maybe a very like small ramp.
Yeah, yeah. So we used to drive all the way from Saskatoon to Eastern BC to ski,
gosh,
which is like 10, 11-hour drive.
It is, because you have to go through Alberta to get here.
Yeah, yeah. And I have two brothers, and you can imagine, like,
so do I.
I always tell.
I
had
no idea.
Yeah. You can relate that. They pack all of us in a car and drive 11 hours. And, like, I will never, like, bless my parents, because I could never do that. Can you imagine being in, like, a five-foot radius of three screaming, crying kids?
I,
like,
can't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your brothers are younger.
Well, one older, one younger.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually love road trips. My family is, my immediate family is five people. Said also yours,
okay, yeah,
including
same.
You.
Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea we had this much in common. We, okay.
Are you oldest?
No, I'm the youngest. I have two older brothers. But yeah, it can be hard because my older brothers are pretty, you know, they're big and tall, and they always kind of feel cramped up in the car. But we don't feel like we should rent a car because we don't have, like, a van or anything, because we just don't need it for what we need.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of squished in, and they're always uncomfortable. And then there's these long drives. And though I've always liked it, because I like the idea of, I like a road trip where it's just like music and the scenery around. But it's probably better if there's less, if the car is not full to capacity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I drove here from Saskatoon, which is approximately 17 hours. I didn't do it all at once. I stopped in Calgary for a night. But I was alone, and I gotta say, like, road trips alone is kind of sucks, because it's like,
you need someone with you.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Because you got your music or podcasts or whatever, and that's cool. Like, I did catch up on a lot of podcasts, but it's so lonely. I just want to talk
know.
To somebody. It's
you
like,
need someone there for a road trip. You need at least just one other person.
Yeah.
One's good enough. And we're going to go on a little break. But we'll come back, and I'll ask you more. I'm going to play a song from... Damn it. Okay. I'm going to attempt this name. Sandro. Oh my gosh. Dementley? No, that's not it.
You got it.
I can't do it. Dad, come on. You got this.
I would say Sandro Dominelli.
Okay. And what's the third track?
Third track is called Unconscious.
And that is this song.
Thank you. allow me to tell you about Unceded Airways?
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you are at.
Hate music? Are you at a loss for what to listen to these days? Tune in to Deliberate Noise for the latest and greatest rock, punk, underground, and local music. Your host Nina Panini and special guest Claire bring you high-energy tunes and unrelated chit-chat every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on CITR. For free! So come get sweaty with us and get into your local music scene.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I actually made a mistake earlier. The first song I played was actually from Carlo, from the album Carlo, and the song was called Redemption. But now we're back with Dan Miller. I wish I said it in a cooler way. But we were talking about school systems and how they're different between our two provinces. And I wanted to ask, what's the curriculum like in Saskatoon?
I think the curriculum's pretty standard. I mean, there's nothing too out in left field. I mean, we have a lot of options, thankfully, in high school. We could take AP classes, which was pretty nice. I took a couple of those.
Okay, so you had AP classes. What does AP stand for?
I think it's advanced placement. I hate saying that because it's like it sounds so like, ooh, I was in advanced placement, which sounds very like superior. But it's just like I don't know, just way to get ahead for university because the credits you get from that usually transfer. They don't always transfer, but
okay, we didn't have that in Surrey, or maybe we don't have that in BC, but we didn't have that in Surrey. There was no such thing as advanced placement.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. Interesting, because I think it is, like, I have buddies in the United States that also took AP, but I wonder if perhaps it wasn't offered at your high school, maybe.
Maybe it just wasn't at my high school. The way it would work is, like, there'll be, like, social studies 9, and then social studies 10, and then 11 and 12, and that's how they would be named, like, humanities 11, and gym 10, and it would just go by grades. Was it the same thing at your high school?
Yeah, we had, it was kind of weird, like, in the younger grades, it was, like, science 9, science 10, but then it started being, like, physics, bio,
right.
Chemistry, which I guess kind of makes sense, because you get that general, and then you can get specific, but the one thing I was always really thankful for was throughout, like, my education, and I did not appreciate it at the time. I was pretty, like, dumb about it, but now, looking back, like, I'm really thankful for it. We got a really thorough education on Indigenous people and the history and sort of, I mean, I got to shout out my high school history teacher, Mr. Lusick, because, man, like, that guy was phenomenal. Such a good teacher. Taught us so much about not just Canadian history, like, a lot of Canadian history, but also, like, just world history. And I was really thankful because I think our high school had the best teachers in the like, probably in the city, probably in the province, I won't lie. Like, I don't want to, like, shout out all of them, mm-hmm. but I would totally shout them all
you
out.
You can.
Okay, I got to shout out Mr. Fanner, who taught us jazz, like, such a wise, sage guy, like, so thankful for that. Kotcher taught us AP English. Mr. Lusick. Mr. Milner, can't forget Mr. Milner. He taught us AP Calculus.
So you were in the AP classes?
Yeah, a couple AP. And then, don't want to forget anybody. Mrs. Mortensen taught us band earlier. She left, unfortunately, but she was also great.
There's a lot of music at your school.
Yeah. We had a great music program. We won quite a bit. And I can't like say that was me or us. It was definitely like we had phenomenal conductors that really knew how to get the best out of us. And
what instrument did you play, or you might still play?
I played tenor sax in the concert band.
So saxophone.
Yes, saxophone. Yeah.
We have so much in common.
Wait, did you play saxophone?
I played it in elementary school though. It was like a band thing. You would do it like once a week on a Wednesday, and there was a music teacher, and you would just, it was band. You would play band.
I had a
saxophone. It was hard to take to school because I lived really close to the elementary school, but it was up a hill, and I was in elementary school. I was much smaller, and I wasn't as strong then, so it was really hard to carry this thing up the hill. I was so jealous of the people with like clarinets
or flutes. Yeah.
Yeah, just so easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally relate to that. And then, in jazz, I played drums all 4 years I played in the jazz band? And then they actually offered a class for jazz at our school, so I took that for 2 years.
So do you know how to jazz drum or normal drum, or both?
Both, but I definitely like jazz drumming more. I think it's so awesome. Like, you can be so expressive. There's so much you can say when you're playing jazz drums because you're keeping time, sure, but you're also like, you're doing this thing called comping, which is basically you're throwing out ideas like by hitting the snare drum or other cymbals or the bass drum or whatever that other soloists can feed off of. And like, I could get really into jazz, but yeah, like jazz drumming is amazing. Like, I do like rock drumming or country drumming or like or other drumming like that. But to me, that's more restrictive in like how you can express yourself. Whereas jazz, like, it's totally expressive.
And can we go back to AP? Because to me, this is like a whole new thing. Like, I would hear about it sometimes in like movies or something, but I didn't know what it was. How do you even get into like an AP class? Like, is it by grades? Do you take a test?
I don't think so. I think
anybody can get into AP.
It depends. I know that at our school it was free. I think sometimes you have to pay. You definitely have to pay
to be in the class.
Yeah, because the exam, they have to pay to get the exams, I think. And so sometimes you. Like, our school had it all covered, although I heard that that was ending and you would have to pay later. I think we were the last class that didn't have to pay, which was pretty sweet. But, no, I think you can get in without, like, you don't have to apply. I don't think there's an application process for it. I think you just sign up for it.
So then anybody could just be an AP if you just wanted, like, for it to be more difficult for you?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the advantage of AP is if you pass the exam, you get university credits, which was huge for me because coming in to university, I already had 6 credits, so I could take that many less classes. I have 33 now, so I still have the ability to take like 4 classes and finish my degree in 4 years, although I might take 5. We'll see how I end up, but yeah, it was definitely pretty helpful.
Oh my gosh, I wish I could have done that. I had no idea what AP was. But what was the, kind of back to the curriculum, like, these are like kind of the classes that I had. There was like math, there was social studies, there was social justice if you went higher up in the classes, there was English and humanities and social studies and English combined. And as you went higher, there was a point where you would go, for math, you would go into like separate streams. You would either go into foundations math or calculus math. I went in foundations because I knew I wasn't going to go to math. So it was easier for me. I imagine that calculus was harder. But what was kind of like, what were like some of like the main classes you had? Did they have the same names as mine, or were they differently named?
We had foundations, and we had calculus, pre-calc, and then calculus was like the grade 12 class. I took pre-calc and calculus, which it wasn't too bad. I mean, I don't know. I don't find math that. I mean, I do sympathize with people that are like, "Ugh, this makes no sense." But math was a main one. History, which started out as social studies, and then it became history. The sciences, I took bio and chemistry. I didn't take physics because
I took physics.
Oh, really?
I was more interested in physics and chemistry.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, like, Newton's laws of motion.
That's fair. I think physics is definitely pretty interesting, actually. I do kind of regret not taking it, but at the same time, it was like I was taking two AP classes at once, calculus and English, sort of throw
okay,
on
Okay, this
physics.
Is another question. How many classes would you have, like, per term?
Well, you could take spares, but we had...
When could you take spares?
I took one in grade 10, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Spares. My teachers or even the principals in my school hated when we called it spares. They wanted... they always, whatever we did say, they wanted us to call it, like, study... Well, it was, like, study class or something. Or they had a different name for it, but we always called it spares.
Yeah. No, that's so weird that they not like that. Yeah, it's just
I know.
Like a spare.
But how it worked at my school is that, or I think most schools are like this in BC, where it's you have two semesters. The first each semester has four classes, and at the beginning they kind of just decide you never get to choose the order of the classes and how they go. They always choose that for you. You get to choose, like, as you go higher up, like, oh, I don't want to take gym anymore. You have to take gym until grade 10. After that, you can choose, like, oh, I don't want to take gym anymore. And then you get to choose your own electives. Like, we had, there was cooking, though they called it home economics, I think. They had a fancier name for it. There was video production and media production, which I did. And there was, like, there was a lot of, like, mechanical kind of stuff. There was, like, wood shop and robotics shop or class. There was welding. There was, like, a race car they were building. There was a lot of stuff in, like, that department. We had a music class. We had theater and drama. We had a lot of that.
Yeah, I think we had most of the same things. We didn't have so much of those trades.
We had a lot of trade classes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I regret not taking shop class because to me, like woodworking, I did it in grade 8. We did IA. I guess they call it IA.
What is IA?
Shop class. It's just like woodworking and stuff. And
I took woodworking. It was fun.
I made
this little stool, like this fold up stool, so you could like hide it away, but then you can bring it back and like make it into a stool. It was fun making.
Yeah, I miss it, man. Like, getting on that lathe mm-hmm. and, like,
shaping
it.
Yeah, that was
That's
fun.
So fun, man. Because you, like, see it shape before you. Like, it's art. You're making art. It's so cool, man. I miss that. So I regret not taking that. I didn't take gym because I was already playing hockey.
I.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, gym, shmim, whatever, you know. I took that. We had to take that in grade 9 and 10 as well. And, gym is such a weird class, man. Like,
sometimes what happened at my school is that sometimes it'll be really fun if you're with the right people. Other times it'll just be boring because no one really wants to, like, really participate. And if you had, like, those who were, like, in sports and, like, more of the athletes of the school, then it was, like, the class was to a higher level of you have to be good. Sometimes that was a good thing, like, oh, we can, like, really go for it. Other times it was like, oh, my gosh. They just, like, hit the ball, like, if there was baseball, like, they just hit it so far, and I'm going to feel embarrassed if I go up there and do it.
Were you split into boys and girls, or was it kind of just everybody?
I think, oh, my gosh, I don't really remember. I think it was mixed together.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, we were split.
I think you had the option of in the beginning to either be in an all girls gym class or all boys gym class, but as you got higher up, it would be more mixed. Okay. It would just be a mixed class. Sometimes, like, during class, they might, like, split the two and, like, girls do your thing, guys do your kind of thing. But, yeah, I think it was mostly mixed. There was one point, though, where we had to learn to dance, which was awkward for the whole thing. Get in a circle, get a partner, do the waltz, and, like, it was... Some people got out of it for, like, for real reasons, for, like, religious reasons, or the parents were against it.
Yeah.
But that was an awkward class.
I liked that. I liked dancing. I mean, it was so funny because for guys, I feel like the dance class is very much like, ugh, like, I don't want to dance. Ugh. But I liked it. It was fun. You got to, like, do the spins and
I feel like it would have been fun if I got to choose my partner. If yeah. I felt, like, comfortable with my partner, it could have been, like, really fun. But it was, like, this whole, like, high school, don't know where I am, hormones kind of a thing.
Like, it's a bigger deal in high school, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, ooh, dancing with this girl or dancing with this guy or whatnot. And I don't know. It was funny. Like, we had one teacher that was, like, really into it. He's setting us up for prom. So he's telling like, teaching us how to promenade. And
oh, right. That was another question I wanted to ask you. All about, like, prom and what was, like, the kind of the social events that happened. But we're going to take another break. This time we're actually going to play
Sandro Dominelli.
Yes. And this song is called Through the Trees. It has quite a cool name, don't you think?
Thank you. Have you ever thought about going abroad to study, work, intern, or learn a language? Mark Sunday, October 21st in your calendar and get down to the Vancouver Convention Center East Building to find out how. All the experts under one roof. Top universities, gap year specialists, and student travel organizations. Feature seminar on scholarships starts at noon and expo opens at 1 p.m. Admission is free. Check online at studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
Hi, you're listening to CITR, and we just heard a track from Golden Grey from their album Colors, and we heard the first track, and I'm back with my guest, Dan Miller, and throughout the show, we were talking about Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, and I could finally pronounce it now, and we were focusing a lot about all the school system and kind of comparing between my experience and your experience, but now we have to end the show. But we will have another show so you can learn more about Saskatchewan and Saskatoon and the differences between the provinces and between the two of us. Though I feel like we've found a lot of commonalities through this show.
Yeah.
And we need to name the show. So, and that's Dan's responsibility.
Okay. What do you think about, Prairie Talk?
Prairie, yeah, I like that. Prairie Talk.
Okay.
Because that's the geography of Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Prairies, man.
Prairie Talk. Okay, that's the show. And next up is Goodie.